Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The House today overwhelmingly voted to renew the 1965 Voting Rights Act for 25 years. The House rejected efforts by some Southern conservatives to relax federal oversight in their states. The vote 390-33 sending the bill to the Senate, where Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter is promising quick action. Also today, Senator Specter says the Bush administration has agreed to have a secret court review its controversial secret spying program in the U.S. Senator Specter says George Bush will sign the bill that would authorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to review the constitutionality of those spying programs. Specter called the agreement recognition by the president that he does not have a blank check. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez confirms the administration supports Specter's bill. He told reporters it would continue to allow the president to gather information to protect the country, since shortly after 9/11, the National Security Agency has been eavesdropping on the international calls and emails of people inside the U.S. Bush authorized those actions without a court warrant. George Bush wrapping up his day in Germany with a wild boar barbecue. Bush and German Chancellor Angela Merkel held a news conference at which they both made it clear Iran has to stop its uranium enrichment program. George Bush also reacted to the escalating fighting in the Middle East. He said it's a sad situation when a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is possible, but certain people, he says, are willing to take innocent life in order to stop that progress. Bush also said Israel has a right to defend itself. Meanwhile, today, rockets fired from inside Lebanon went farther into Israel than ever before. At least one rocket fired by Lebanese guerrillas reportedly hit the northern Israeli city of Haifa, about 30 miles from the border. Israel has been staging attacks inside Lebanon after the capture of two Israeli soldiers. Every year, more than 500,000 babies born in the U.S. are premature. A new report today concludes there is little chance of things getting better soon. The Institute of Medicine report says doctors don't know what causes most preterm births, much less how to prevent them. They don't even have many good ways to predict which women will go into labor early. The report urges more research. But the experts do know that infertility treatments often lead to women having twins or triplets, and often they're premature. This is Air America Radio News.
Every nation must defend herself against terrorist attacks and the killing of innocent life.
And with that statement, of course, Bush justifies the reaction to U.S. and British troops in Iraq, right? Huh? That's what we are to the Iraqi people, terrorists. We're going to get to that tonight. To the situation in the Middle East, once again, Israel operates from the position of 10,000 eyes for an eye. Now, that's the theory of vengeance that seems to operate within Israel's government. If you want some information directly from the scene as to what's going on over there, there are Lebanese bloggers at work, and I would strongly recommend that you do not listen to American media for your reports on what is happening in Lebanon. The site to go to is lebanesebloggers.blogspot.com. lebanesebloggers.blogspot.com. And you will get firsthand information as to what is occurring in that that sad country. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the program tonight, so it should be a very interesting little ride. Every time I bring up the topic of Israel's aggression and disproportionate response to acts against its citizens, I'm usually accused of being an anti-Semite, and I hate the Jews, and why don't I go live in Russia? And it really doesn't bother me anymore, okay? But we are going to discuss it tonight. And continuing our theme of delusional members of the Bush crime family, Rumsfeld, who has been skipping like a stone all over pools of blood in Iraq and Afghanistan, Rumsfeld talked about progress in Iraq. And as he's talking, this is yesterday, more than 40 people are kidnapped at a bus station and 22 are executed. As this sour old bastard is talking about all the progress and how wonderful things are. And Bush in Germany apparently is more interested in barbecued boar than the Third World War his policies have helped create in the Mideast. It looks like a Third World War. I went to some of the Armageddonist blog sites again today, the Rapture Ready psychopaths. My God, they are just jumping around like cockroaches when you switch on a light at 3 o'clock in the morning in some grease-filled apartment in I don't know where. If I say a city now, I get emails from that city saying we don't have cockroaches, but you know what I'm talking about. And back here in Never Neverland, Valerie Plame has filed a lawsuit against Karl Rove, Irving Libby, and Dick Cheney. It's about time. Now let's see if Raisin Brain lives up to his promise to let Rove go. If there's a whiff of impropriety as a result of the Plame investigation, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Let me share something with you. An invitation went out from Laura Bush a couple, 3 weeks ago, and the invitation went to people in the design field. The invitation said, Mrs. Laura Bush requests the pleasure of your company at a breakfast and ceremony in recognition of the recipients of the 2005 and 2006 National Design Awards to be held at the White House on Monday, July 10th, 2006 at 9:30 o'clock, East Entrance. Now, that's the invitation that was sent out. if you go to... It's a design website. I'm sorry. You can find it at Democratic Underground. It's on their main page. Scroll down and you'll find it. Here's the story. The Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum began what are called the National Design Awards in 2000. And the idea was to honor the best in American design. And in the museum's words, this program, quote, celebrates design in various disciplines as a vital humanistic tool in shaping the world. Close quote. In other words, if design has an Oscar, the National Design Award is it. Now, because the award program was originally conceived as an official project of the White House Millennium Council 6-7 years ago, the First Lady, regardless of who that is, serves as the honorary chair of this event, of which the winners are celebrated. And she also traditionally hosts a breakfast at the White House to which all the nominees and winners are invited. That breakfast was 3 days ago, Monday. Now, this year, five communication design honorees, winners, decided to decline the invitation. They wrote a letter to Laura Bush explaining why. And I want to share the letter with you. It's very quick. Dear Mrs. Bush, as American designers, we strongly believe our government should support the design profession and applaud the White House sponsorship of the Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum. And as finalists and recipients of the National Design Award in Communication Design, we are deeply honored to be selected for this recognition. However, we find ourselves compelled to respectfully decline your invitation to visit the White House on July 10th. Graphic designers are intimately engaged in the construction of language, both visual and verbal. And while our work often dissects, rearranges, rethinks, questions, and plays with language, it is our fundamental belief and a central tenet of good design that words and images must be used responsibly, especially when the matters articulated are of vital importance to the life of our nation. We understand that politics often involves high rhetoric and the shading of language for political ends. However, it is our belief that the current administration of George W. Bush has used the mass communication of words and images in ways that have seriously harmed the political discourse in America. We therefore feel it would be inconsistent with those values previously stated to accept an award celebrating language and communication from a representative of an administration that has engaged in a prolonged assault on meaning. While we have diverse political beliefs, we are united in our rejection of these policies. Through the wide-scale distortion of words, from healthy forests to mission accomplished, and both the manipulation of media, the photo op, and its suppression, the hidden war casualties, the Bush administration has demonstrated disdain for the responsible use of mass media language and the intelligence of the American people. While it may be an insignificant gesture, we stand against these distortions and for the restoration of a civil political dialogue. And the letter was signed by Michael Rock, Susan Sellers, Georgie Stout, Paula Scher, and Stefan Sagmeister. Now, you can get more information on this. And what is interesting is go to Democratic Underground on the front page, scroll down, you'll find the story, and go to the design website and look at some of the responses to this that that have been posted by other designers. I've read maybe 20 of them, and damn near every one of them, with two or three exceptions, attacked these six designers who said, no, hell no. We're not coming. We're not going to participate. We're winners. We're not going to participate. Because, and the reason this caught my attention is it's what we've talked about on this program for, what, 2 years, 3 years? I don't know. Forever. The corruption of language. That's one of the reasons we read 1984 in its entirety. The absolute corruption, destruction, inversion, pollution of language, starting with thugs like Newt Gingrich. 12 years ago, and honed to a fine art here in this disgusting age of Bush. So I frankly applaud the hell out of these designers who had the courage to say, I won't call it courage, I'll call it integrity, to say to the Bush crime family, you know, if it happens to be to Laura Bush, who is the goat in this, too bad. But to say to the Bush crime family, no, we don't want your award. For obvious reasons. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
It's about 22 past the hour. Then there's this story, and again, we're going to get to the situation in Lebanon here coming up very shortly. I got an email last night when I was talking about these Christian crazies who are celebrating the death and destruction and blood and gore and broken children and busted dead people all over the Middle East, because that is the clue to these religious psychopaths that the rapture is upon us. And I went to Rapture Ready website and read some of the posts there, and it's really, really, really scary stuff. I swear it is. But I was talking about that last night, and Bob at headonradio.com sent me an email, and he included a link to a story out of San Antonio, Texas. I want to share it with you. It's the site of that, you know, the famous 19th century battle at the Alamo, San Antonio. But right now there's another battle brewing there, and this one is between gay folks, gay activists, and conservative Christians, and the battle is centered on, of all things, a statewide chain of grocery stores. Right. Jody Brown, writing for Agape Press, provided the information here. Now, the company is called HEB Grocery. It has headquarters in Kerrville, Texas. It began more than 100 years ago with one tiny little family store, and now has about 300 stores across Texas and in northern Mexico, about 56,000 employees. It gives millions of dollars annually to charitable organizations. It gives money to educational initiatives. It gives money to relief efforts in the area it serves. But its recent $300 donation to Pride Fest San Antonio, which is a Gay Pride Day event in San Antonio, has caught the attention of a local Christian radio personality. Adam McManus hosts the Daily Drive Time live call-in talk show called Take a Stand on KSLR, a Salem communications radio station. Now, Brother McManus feels that the grocery chain was founded on solid Christian values, but contends that the new CEO, or the CEO who is not new, he's been there since 1971, has taken the company in a different direction. Brother McManus writes on his website, on Saturday, June 17th, much to the disappointment of loyal customers throughout South Texas, HEB chose to sponsor the San Antonio Homosexual Pride Fest at Hemisphere Park. Amen. Brother McManus also noted that the company has contributed financially to similar observances in Austin, Texas as well. In fact, he says, the grocery store chain displayed a float in an Austin homosexual parade 2 weeks before the Hemisphere event, right alongside floats from groups such as the Texas Gay Rodeo Association, the Transgender Advocates of Central Texas, and the Central Texas Boys of Leather. Yeehaw! Brother McManus has since led three pickets at various HEB outlets in San Antonio, and he's challenging his listeners to boycott the grocery chain, and he's provided proof on his website of the company's promotion of the homosexual agenda. He claims his exposing of the company's involvement with the Pride Fest event has resulted in hundreds of my listeners are emailing and calling HEB with their complaints. Now, in an interview with the San Antonio Express News, a newspaper there, a spokeswoman with HEB, a grocery chain, explained that inclusiveness has always been an element of the company's policy. She said, quote, we want to treat all our customers and employees with dignity and respect. We give millions of dollars annually to charities and educational entities. End quote. The company says the donation in question was approved by the Grocery Chain Regional Diversity Council. You have to have a regional diversity council now if you run a grocery chain. Hoping to energize the Christian community to convince the grocery chain it is making a poor business decision, Brother McManus is offering an 11-step action plan and online petition on my website. Among the steps is an attempt to demonstrate how much money this grocery chain has lost by promoting the radical homosexual agenda and turning their back on Texas Christian families. Amen. Other sponsors of the San Antonio Pride Fest event included Wells Fargo Bank, Miller Lite, Halo Beers, and the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages. Brother McManus, wait till you find out when you die and go to hell that the head demon, Satan himself, that big old cloven-hoofed guy with the long tail who stands about 12 feet tall, wait till you find out he is a very horny gay man, and he's just looking for a little butterball like you to come down there and play with in hell, Brother McManus. Get ready, Brother McManus! It's coming! So to speak.
We think his Bible should be taught in every nation, and we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love that neighbor if that neighbor's understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
living up to the flying monkey right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, Ray Close is a former CIA analyst in the Near East Division. That would be the Middle East. He's also a member of the steering group, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. This was posted today, and I want to share it with you. Dear friends, not surprisingly, some, not all, of my Israeli and American Jewish friends have objected strenuously to my characterization of Israel's response to recent Hamas and Hezbollah actions as disproportionate and counterproductive. Let me make it crystal clear where I stand. One of the definitions of madness is the repetition countless times of the same action, always expecting a different result. For more than half a century, the Israelis have been applying the tactic of massively disproportionate retaliation to every provocative act of resistance attempted by the Palestinians, expecting every time that this would bring peace and security to all the people of the Holy Land. Every single time they have done this, it has backfired. Every single time. The national philosophy, and it is really deeper and more significant than just a military tactic, the national philosophy that underlies this devotion to massive overreaction and particularly its corollary, collective punishment, is obviously and demonstrably foolish and futile. It does not intimidate or deter the Palestinians, and it never will. It hardens their determination to resist and to defy. I don't care whether you consider the Palestinians to be terrorists or common criminals or freedom fighters or national resistance heroes. If you are an intelligent and sensitive human being, you learn from your past mistakes and you make a rational decision to try something different. The Israeli leadership for all these many generations has been incapable of performing that really rather simple mental and moral exercise. Nor does it matter who, quote, started it, end quote. If you take land and houses and personal freedoms away from individuals, and if you systematically deprive a whole people of dignity and national identity, they do not forgive or forget their deep sense of injury, deprivation, and injustice. Giving them a thorough beating at regular intervals or endlessly frustrating their hopes of enjoying the benefits of political self-determination and economic prosperity does not diminish their personal bitterness or alleviate their collective hunger for revenge and restitution. That point should be beyond debate, in my opinion. I have a memory, too. My first job for the CIA in the early 50s was establishing an informant network in the Palestinian refugee camps in southern Lebanon, in a region where my ancestors had established Christian mission schools starting a century before. It was in exactly that same year, 1953, when a secret unit of the Israeli army slaughtered 68 innocent Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children, in a village called Kivaya near Tel Aviv, under official orders from Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. The unit was commanded by an ambitious young lieutenant exactly my age named Ariel Sharon. That so-called lesson, administered before there was a Fatah or a Hamas or a Hezbollah, and long before terrorism became a household word, that lesson was supposed to end Palestinian resistance once and for all, right from the very start. That was only 5 years after Israel came into existence. Tragically, the intended object lesson has not been learned by either side in the 56 years since that day. Who started it? I go back to that old definition of madness mentioned above. In the present situation, I have another grievance to express. The interests of my country, the United States, do not coincide with those of Israel in many important respects today. Let me mention just two of those ways. It is very important to the United States that the independence and national sovereignty of a democratic Lebanon be preserved. That means absolutely nothing to the government of Israel, despite what they may say to the contrary. Israeli actions going back many years, demonstrated most graphically in the 1980s, clearly prove that point. Current Israeli actions in Lebanon are belligerently challenging the continued viability of the fragile coalition government that is struggling to achieve credibility and legitimacy at a critical period in Lebanon's history. Israeli actions are, even more importantly, threatening to revive the deep sectarian divisions and intercommunal tensions that led to 15 years of tragic civil war from 1975 to 1990. America's national interests will suffer much more than Israel's if chaos results. Secondly, we Americans have other critical interests to worry about. If we take a position supporting Israel's demand that Hezbollah must be totally defeated and disarmed, a futile objective in any case, and especially if Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, the revered spiritual leader of Hezbollah, is physically harmed, the Shiite populations of Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East will be inflamed, greatly undermining American prospects of working cooperatively and constructively with the Shiite religious parties in Iraq that control the overwhelmingly majority of political power in that country. Open confrontation of Hezbollah by the United States, allied with Israel, will have a powerful impact on the Iranian people as well. Argue, if you will, that Iran is a known supporter of Hezbollah and Hamas and thus of international terrorism. That is a reality that none can deny. But let's prioritize our national interests here. It is the people of Iraq and Iran on whom we depend, not just for regime change in the short term, but for peace and stability and resistance to terrorism throughout that region in the decades ahead. It is the people of those countries whose trust and respect we must win. It is the trust and respect of those people that we have lost, to a significant extent because we are identified in their minds with the narrow interests of Israel. Why is that so difficult for Americans to understand? Encouraging and supporting Israel in a bloody confrontation with Hezbollah in Lebanon may seem to be a justified and reasonable action in the shortest of terms and from the narrowest of perspectives. But the United States of America is not Israel, and we have regional and global interests and responsibilities that far surpass those of this one small ally. Just for once, let's think first of what's best for America. That is an open letter by Ray Close, former CIA analyst in the Near East Division and longtime observer and operator in the Middle East for both the CIA and God knows who else. And I tend to agree with most of what he wrote. It's astonishingly painful and upsetting to see this go on again and again and again and again and again for my entire life. Okay, not my entire life, but my entire conscious life. The situation between Israelis and Palestinians has been one of just absolute pain, suffering, terror, death, destruction, and an ultimate flashpoint for God knows what kind of confrontation among what nations in what regions of the world that would begin right there. During the Cold War, of course, the United States and the Soviet Union played Arab against Jew and Jew against Arab over and over and over and over again. So here we are. There is no way to separate the fact that the reason the occupied territories are called the occupied territories is because they are occupied. There is no reason to believe that as long as the Israelis insist, the Israeli government insists, there, and I do make a distinction between the Israelis themselves, the people of that torn country, whether they're Jew, most of whom are Jews, and the government. But for as long as the Israeli government insists that this is to be a Jewish state, in other words, a religious state, and that the people who are not of the Jewish faith are going to have second-class citizenship, whether they're members of the Israeli Knesset or not. And as this writer said, when you have people who have seen their villages destroyed, their homes taken, being forced to carry identity cards in what they consider to be their country, their people blown to pieces, and an occupying army that utterly and absolutely refuses to grant them the dignity that most human beings insist on, then the problem is going to continue forever. We all know this. Now, if you'd like to comment on what's going on in the Middle East from as rational or political a point of view as you can muster, we'll welcome your phone calls. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. Let's take a break. Oh, Jesus, starting already, huh? Already got phone callers who are saying, oh, Malloy is fueling the fire, that son of a bitch! He hates Jews! Oh, God. Anyway, 866-303-2270. Get online if you like. We'll take your calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy, this is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let's start with Marcia, who's calling from Florida. Welcome to the program, Marcia.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, let's move on. Jack is calling from Oceanside, California. Jack, welcome to the program.
Yes, you know, I've been hearing all day today that Israel has the right to defend itself, right to self-defense. But nobody talks about the right of self-defense that the other countries in the region may have. And I have a report here that from July 2002 from the United States Air Force's Counterproliferation Center, and it estimates that Israel has 400 nuclear and thermonuclear weapons. They outgun everybody in the region. Nobody else in the Middle East has these type of weapons. And it puts them at a distinct advantage, and they're the bullies of the Middle East.
Why do you refer to them as bullies of the Middle East? I'm not challenging you. I'm just questioning.
Well, I see Palestine as a modern-day Warsaw ghetto. In other words, it's that old story about, say, people that are beaten as children and then they grow up to beat their children.
Yeah.
They're treating the people in that region the same way that the Germans treated them before and during World War II, to a certain degree. And they have such an unfair advantage. And if you believe that each sovereign country has the right to self-defense, it's no wonder that other countries in the region may want to obtain nuclear weapons.
But can you understand, and again, this is not a challenge, this is just conversation, can you understand, let's set aside for a moment, if it's possible, which I don't think it is, but let's pretend, set aside how the state of Israel was established and by whom and how it came into being. If we set that aside and just take a look at Israel as a state now, and how many states, how many governments in the Middle East have over the course of the past 60 years in various ways made it very clear that they would like to utterly and absolutely destroy the state of Israel. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, but here's what I think people don't understand. If Israel has this type of nuclear capability, and by the way, they are not a party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they do not allow inspectors into their country, and they do not obey UN sanctions that have been levied against them. So what the other countries in the region see Israel having is a force of nuclear weapons that could only be used to extinguish every Arab in the region. And you can't explain to me or give me a reasonable answer as to why Israel would need that many nuclear weapons, especially when you look at how small their population is. If you go by the percent of weapons to their population, they have to have the most powerful army in the world.
Well, it's not the population of Israel that is forms a ratio to the nuclear weapons. It's the population of the nations that have threatened Israel at various times. Now, Israel and Egypt have signed a peace agreement. I think Israel and Jordan have a working agreement. Syria, no. Iran, no. In Lebanon, I think Lebanon would just like to go about its business and be what it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that was kind of the Paris, well, at least Beirut was, the Paris of the Middle East. So I think the number of nuclear weapons that Israel has, look how many we have. We have enough nuclear weapons. Look how many the former Soviet Union had.
We had enough
to wipe out the entire planet, I don't know, pick a number, 100 times over. So there is no rationality in my mind as to the number of nuclear weapons. That's the point I'm trying to make. Nuclear weapons are death for anyone who uses them, anyone against whom they're used, and the nation that first sets them off, that nation will be annihilated. So I don't know, they represent a sickness, a national sickness, nuclear weapons.
Point in another way, then. instead of, let's say, the other countries in the region having a right to self-defense and trying to acquire these type of weapons because they see Israel as an adversary, if everybody is really sincere in having peace in the region, why has there never been an offer on the table for Israel to eliminate all of their nuclear weapons in exchange for making the entire region a nuclear-free zone and having every country subject to inspections?
Well, I think the reasons are fairly obvious. Possibly at one time, that might have been a viable option for Israel and the other nations there. But after 60 years of intense hatred and unending death and destruction, that option is probably not on the table any longer. It makes sense. What you're saying is it makes perfect sense. It should be an agreement among all the states in that region to cut the crap. Look at the European Union. Those are countries there who fought each other for hundreds of years. And finally, they decided enough. You know, this can't go on. So over, you know, after World War II, very slowly, the European Union came into being. And these are former adversaries, France and Germany. Oh, my God, please.
Well, here's what I'm afraid of, Mike. Something that the president said 2 days ago, in that he holds Iran and Syria responsible because they support Hezbollah. I'm afraid that he may take this opportunity of chaos in the Middle East to strike at those two countries, and you could have World War III.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate what you had to say, Jack. Take care. We'll be back after the break and take your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
I'm Bill Crowley. New Orleans has now dropped out of the bidding for the 2008 Democratic National Convention, which leaves New York, Denver, and Minneapolis still in the running. The New Orleans Metropolitan Convention and Visitors Bureau confirmed the city is no longer in the running. They had been a sentimental favorite as a way of showcasing its recovery from Hurricane Katrina. Unlike New York and Minneapolis, Denver is not also bidding for the Republican National Convention in 2008, a decision expected in the fall. The House today rejected an effort by Southern Republicans to relax restrictions on their states in the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and they approved the bill on an overwhelming vote, 390 to 33. Lawmakers who wanted those changes said simply renewing the act would punish some states. Nonetheless, 288 to 134, the House rejected a change that would have extended the act for 10 years rather than the 25 years in the original bill. Congressman John Lewis of Georgia said, quote, discrimination still exists. That's why we still need the Voting Rights Act. Israeli helicopters attacked Lebanon's Beirut International Airport and other targets of the militant infrastructure in Lebanon. The airport assault came after a Katyusha rocket hit deeper into Israeli territory than ever before, hitting the port city of Haifa. In all, more than 50 people have been killed since two Israeli soldiers were captured by Hezbollah fighters. Meanwhile, there are calls for restraint in the Middle East, George Bush blaming Hezbollah guerrillas for starting it all. At a news conference in Germany, Bush said the militants are terrorists who want to stop the advance of peace. The Arab League called an emergency meeting, but the response from moderate Arab governments has been relatively restrained. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says the offensive is heightening fears of a new regional war. The European Union criticized Israel for using what it calls a disproportionate response, and the escalation in the Mideast conflict pushed up oil prices to a new high above $76 a barrel. Former CIA analyst Valerie Plame says top Bush administration officials conspired to destroy her career. Plame is now suing Dick Cheney, his former top aide Louis Scooter Libby, and Bush advisor Karl Rove for leaking her name to reporters. Plame alleges her name was leaked in retaliation after her husband criticized the Bush administration decision to go to war in Iraq. Rove has not been charged. Libby has been indicted. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We're talking about the situation in the Middle East tonight, the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, the taking of three hostages, Israeli soldiers, according to the Israeli government, is what prompted this collective punishment. And I think the last report that I heard is 8 to 10 Israelis have died, including one civilian, and as many as 100 Lebanese or Druze, I guess it would be Druze, mostly Lebanese civilians. The potential for, as always, the potential for this to explode into something much worse than what it already is, as bad as it is clearly exists. Also, there is word circulating around the net that this would be a perfect excuse for, and as a matter of fact, I think my last caller mentioned this, perfect excuse to attack Iran, since Iran is usually held up as the country that funds and supports Hezbollah, and to a lesser extent, Hamas. So anyway, that's what we're talking about tonight. Dangerous topic, but so what? If you want to join us, the number is 866-303-2270. Neil is calling from Miami. Neil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine.
I don't need my coffee. I can just listen to your show. It gets my blood boiling.
I'm sure it does.
The thing that strikes me is that, you know, if Mario Puzo had grown up in the Middle East, you know, he would have written about the Hashemites and the House of Soed instead of the Corleones and the Talia families. Because this is really what's been going on for, let alone a half century, for 80 years. That's the dynamic of the Arab world. It's a shame-based society. Everything is a humiliation. Everything is a catastrophe. And I think that if I were living in that region and I were, Muslim or Arab or Palestinian, quote unquote, my biggest beef would be with my so-called Arab brethren, who have done really nothing for these people, not only since the 48, but for any time before that. It's interesting that we've become inured to the word Palestine, and that's sort of been co-opted by the Arab world as being sort of, you know, their country, whereas it's curious that the word was never used, you know, prior to just recently, you know, to describe it. It's only since, you know, every war that's been waged against Israel has been lost, now there's a country called Palestine, whereas nothing of the sort existed. You know, certainly never existed when Jordan had the West Bank, which is, we all know, the West Bank of Jordan, or when Egypt had Gaza, no one called it Palestine.
I think you're being just a tad disingenuous here. There's no such thing as Iraq either. There's no such thing as Iran either. There's no such thing as Jordan either. There's no such thing as Kurdistan. I mean, where do you stop with this? This is the Middle East. Everybody who lives in the Middle East is half insane, because the Middle East is where these crazed religions all began. The people of the book. The Jew, the Muslim, the Christian. This is where they all began.
Exactly.
So when you're talking about Palestine doesn't exist, nor does Israel, nor does Iraq, nor does Iran, nor does Jordan, nor does, I guess Syria does, but that's about the only one.
Well, I guess that's my point, because everyone has their own narrative. And everyone has their own claim to.
But let me ask you this, Neil, because I think I understand where you're coming from. I'm not sure, but let me ask you this.
Sure.
Where it concerns Israel, do you believe that Israel has a right to exist? And if you do, what is that right based on?
Well, I believe Israel has a right to exist. And what is that based on? It's based on something that's, I guess, no more or less legitimate than any other countries coming into being, is that a partition was made, that when Britain ended its mandate, the United Nations decided to create a Jewish Palestine and an Arab Palestine.
Yeah, but why there?
Why there?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? Since when Israel was created, it was nothing but a stinking desert that contained villages of so-called Palestinians, Bedouins, tribal people, and there was nothing there. Why
right.
there? Why not the deserts of Arizona if the Jews wanted a desert? Why there?
Because according to the Jews' narrative, that's
bingo. According to the Jews' narrative, according to what they believe, that God gave them this land. Now, how do you argue with God giving you a certain section of planet Earth? Now, I'm sure the Palestinians, quote, at the time that the United Nations, first of all, the Ottoman Empire, and then the Brits, and then the UN, I'm sure the Palestinians sat there and said, what the hell is going on? We've been living here for 2,000 years. And then they have a spokesman from the Zionist councils in Europe say, you may have been there for 2,000 years, but you were a squatter. That country was given to us by God. Now, how do you handle that? What do you do?
Like I told
the first caller, I'm not challenging you. I'm just saying, how do you handle that?
Well, I don't think that is across the board. There are plenty of people who feel that way, that there's a fundamentalist belief, either Jew or non-Jew, that believes that land was given by God. I think, you know, ironically, the founders of the modern state of Israel were anything but fundamentalists. They were somewhat atheistic. And I think at the time...
Well, I disagree. They were socialistic, but they damn sure weren't atheistic. When they talk about greater Israel, they're talking about the Israel that is defined by God. In the so-called Old Testament, there's no equivocation here, Neil.
I disagree, Mike. I think at the time that you know when the state was created, it was clearly created smaller than it is now, and they accepted whatever was given to them. And the fact is that you know if the Arabs had accepted the state of Israel as it was in 1947, Israel would not have Jerusalem. It would not have. It would not have the West Bank. After the Six-Day War, Moshe Dayan pleaded with King Hussein to take back the West Bank. Why didn't he? Because Arafat tried to kill his grandfather some 40 years earlier. You know, this is the way it plays out. I don't know why it is that you know, we can argue everything about the dynamics of the region and the various wars, but what strikes me is that as a consequence of these wars, even the first one in 47-48, why these refugee camps were left, you know, squalid, why the Arab world are the least contributors to UNRWA to maintain these camps, because they use these people as pawns. The obsession with Jews persists in the world. That this is always a convenient thing. That the discussion is always about, well, does Israel have a right to exist? I don't hear it with really any other country. I don't know what this obsession is. It's a vanishingly small country that you can really jog across. I do think there is a double standard. I think the double standard is that we rationalize the actions of the surrounding countries, and we hold Israel to another standard. If they really wanted to use the military might that they had, there would be, I guess, a greater Israel. They'd have everything in the region.
But they do use the military might. But let me back up a little bit. Meir Kahane, I had an occasion to talk to him in the 80s,
right.
And he wrote the book They Must Go. And he was very clear in what he was saying,
right.
That even though it was illegitimate from the standpoint of the Arab or the Palestinian,
right.
he put quotes around Palestinian as you do, but he said even though it was an illegitimate claim made by the state of Israel, or the what would become the Israelis, he referred to them as the Jew from Kiev, from Brooklyn, from Buenos Aires,
right.
who after World War II, as a result of a long effort by the Zionists, now we're ready to establish the state of Israel. And as Kahane said, why does the world wonder why the Arab will fight and resist because the Arab in Palestine sees the Jew coming to take the Arab's village, his land, his culture, his heritage. So that brings me to what you said about various countries around Palestine absorbing these refugees. Why should they? They didn't create them. And to absorb the refugees would be nothing, would do nothing more than validate what Kahana said was a legitimate feeling on the, hold on a second. We'll be right back.
Why are we all fighting?
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro AntBlock. AntBlock keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro AntBlock around the foundation of your home. You see, AntBlock's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro AntBlock. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 22 past the hour. We're talking with Neil, who has called in from Miami. And I think we left off at why, over the past 50 or 60 years, the surrounding Arab countries have not taken in Palestinians and allowed these refugee camps to fester. And my response to that, Neil, is what obligation did these other Arab countries have to take in these refugees? And had they done that, would that not have validated the fact that this foreign, alien people came and said, we're going to take this land and we have the backing of the United Nations. If you don't like it, we will burn you out.
Well, is that your rhetoric, that they're foreign and alien people?
No, that's Meir Kahane's rhetoric.
Oh, fortunately, he didn't make policy. But the thing is,
he may not have made policy, but he reflected not to the extreme level that Israel... he reflected policy not to the extreme that he represented with what was his party? I'm drawing a blank
on
The Koch Party, right. So the government of Israel, though, has... Why have they done nothing to absorb or end these camps? Like, we don't even need to talk about Sabra and Shatila, what happened there under what's-his-name, the one who's now in a coma. And I'm not being disrespectful, Sharon.
Right.
What happened there in the 80s.
Well, let me answer your question, the reason why they didn't absorb, or why they would absorb refugees. I think it's for the same reason why Israel did, in the 50s, where they got the Jews out of India. They got Jews out of Syria, because they felt that was their obligation, that was their brethren. Who else wanted them? Or the Jews out of Ethiopia who were being on the verge of being exterminated. And the reason why they didn't absorb them is because, rhetorically, why should they, when they can prop them up? Because as we know, that anything that's not Arab or Muslim in the Middle East is anathema. The fact that any non-Muslim entity is there. When our troops were there in the first Gulf War, I remember reading things in the newspaper where Christian servicemen and women were advised to tuck in their crucifixes because it was an affront to their host countries. This is the mindset. Why didn't Jordan, when it had the West Bank, why didn't it partition itself from it? Why didn't it create a state of Palestine in the West Bank? Why didn't Egypt do the same in Gaza? It's because no such concept existed when the Jordanians had retained control of the West Bank. And by the way, they had control of Jerusalem as well. You had to prove that you were not Jewish to go into Jerusalem between 48 and 67. Hussein actually had granted the Palestinians Jordanian citizenship. They had their own courts. They had their own education system. And yet it was Arafat who decided to distance himself and really overthrow it. That's why Black September happened. So, I think that in many important ways over the last 40, 50 years, Israel has really been on the periphery of what has been an ongoing, I don't want to use the word tribal, that sounds sort of primitive, but internecine fighting between all of these factions. And Israel is there because it's wholly convenient for the real power players like Saudi Arabia and Iraq, and Kuwait and all the oil countries, that this is a political tool, and it has served them very, very well. And I think that's really that's a part of the dynamic that's sort of under appreciated.
All right, Neil, I don't want to cut it short.
No, you've been very generous with your time, Mike.
I wish we could sit down and have a beer and talk about this, but I've got to move on. Just one last shot from me, and that is this. What you just said sounds like you are casting Israel as a victim.
I certainly don't label myself as anything approaching extremist or anything else, but you know what? I sort of subscribe to the writer and philosopher Eric Hoffer, who essentially said, I think, for the next 20, 30 years, I don't think the world has a right, to start lecturing Jews on what they have to do to defend themselves. And that's my point of departure.
Well, all right. I
know that it's highly rhetorical, but, you know, that's...
Well, I've read Eric Hoffer. I read The True Believer, probably in the late 50s, early 60s. So I'm familiar with his writings. But
right.
I think Hoffer also made salient points about the true believer, could we say, maybe someone who totally, completely believes in the establishment of the State of Israel and the continuation of the state, regardless of any tangential issues that might come up. I think Hoffer made it very clear in The True Believer that someone who adopts beliefs to a point that everything else is become secondary is undermining his own cause.
Well, that's certainly dangerous, and I'm certainly not of that ilk, you know. But that's a danger that has to be
can't
be allowed.
Neil, thanks for checking in. I got to leave it there. We'll talk again. Take care. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Stay with us.
Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live and live?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Email from Jan in Mill Valley, California. Hi, Mike. First of all, thanks for reading Gideon Levy's moving narrative of the Wabas family last night. Gideon Levy, to my mind, is a most heroic and compassionate journalist who lets Israelis and others know of the horror of the occupation as it affects the ordinary Palestinian. As a result of his writings, Levy has been verbally scorned and attacked by those who cannot bear the truth. As a Jew who deeply believes in justice, I'm on the email list of Gush Shalom, one of Israel's peace organizations. Today, I received this email citing the ad that appeared in the print version of Haaretz. Thanks for allowing the subject to be spoken about on your program, and thank you for what I perceive as your belief that without justice there will be no peace. Jan is last name, and Mill Valley. This is an ad that was in tomorrow's Haaretz newspaper. Those who refused to talk with the Palestinian government and declared a blockade of the Palestinian people got a conflagration in the Gaza Strip. Those who refused a prisoner exchange and sent tanks into Gaza got a conflagration both in the north and in the south. Those who refused to talk even now may get a conflagration throughout the Middle East. And in the end, in spite of everything, they will talk. Yeah, that's the part, I guess, part of the part that is so frustrating, isn't it? Okay. Back to your phone calls. Ben. Oh, it's our WhiteRoseSociety.org dude, Ben Birch, calling from Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Ben.
Hey there, Mike. I think that whatever that is going on over there, and you know, and I think I'm fair to say a pox on both their houses, because both the Palestinians of various factions of them, of course, you can't really say that there's any one group that represents the Palestinians, or the government of Israel. Neither one of them has missed an opportunity to snatch war from the jaws of peace. Every time it looks like something is about to go right, like tensions might be easing, settlers are going to be, you know, prevented from settling in further parts of the occupied territories, like there might be a peace process afoot that has an actual chance of creating a viable Palestinian state that can live next door to Israel, one side or the other, either some Yahoo, kibbutzim or settler decides he's going to go off and shoot him some Palestinians, or, you know, some Palestinian, person decides that now's the time he's going to, take, revenge for Uncle Aram, who died in 67. And goes and blows something up. It seems like every time we get to a point where things might work out there, somebody takes it upon themselves to make it not work out. And then we see the predictable knee-jerk response on the part of the Israeli government. Instead of saying, you killed two of our people, well, we're a big country and we understand that their interests of peace are bigger than that. Instead of that, then we've got this completely out of proportion response that defense, that intelligence analyst was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've got a situation here where there really is only one outcome possible. One side or the other has to be completely wiped out. I can't see there being peace there at this point, as long as there is a single Palestinian to oppose Israel, because so many of them, all of them, there's probably not a single Palestinian who does not have a close relative who's been killed in this whole mess, or a single Israeli who is going to, going to oppose the Palestinians and defend Israel's right to exist. Both sides are committing atrocities against the other, and I just despair of a solution. You know, and I think at this point, we do have to ask ourselves the question, is it in the best interest of the United States to have anything to do with this conflict? Do we even want to have to be a mediator in it? I think we just have to say, okay, the only way we will participate in this in the future is with the entire United Nations.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Of course, historically, and again, this is not a challenge, it's just a statement of fact, time and time and time again, the Israeli government, whichever government it was, totally and absolutely ignores UN resolutions. And they do so based on the fact that they feel those resolutions are either contrary to their interests or compromise their security. And based on that, the Israelis, being the Israelis, say no. Or they don't even say no. They just totally ignore whatever the UN has passed. That's A. I think this is B. The countries that surround the Arab countries that surround Israel have also, because I believe, because of the 50-year-long Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, where the Soviet Union promoted the attitude of no, don't negotiate with Israel on anything because Israel is merely a client state for the United States. So, of course, now the Soviet Union is no longer supplying Syria or Iraq whatever country, Egypt, whatever country they used to supply. Now we do it. We supplied Iraq. We still do supply Egypt, one of the most repressive states in the Middle East. We send them, I think they're only second to Israel in terms of the amount of foreign aid that we send. I think Egypt is second to Israel. So there, you may be right in that the only solution is this apocalyptic outcome that says every Israeli and every Palestinian or Arab has to die before there's a solution. After 60 years of watching that, well, I haven't watched it for 60, but being aware of it for all those years, it's just that could be a very sad reality. I don't know. I do believe, though, what you're saying, that the United States does not have a strategic interest any longer where it concerns Israel. Now, a lot of people are just going to freak with that statement, but it's true. There may be other reasons to maintain kind of an unspoken defense agreement or agreement of support in these international forums. But as far as a strategic reason, I don't see one. During the Cold War, of course there was. In the madness of the Cold War and the insanity of the Cold War against the Soviet Union, the sides were clearly defined. The Arab countries were backed by and supported the Soviet Union. Israel was backed by and supported the United States. And I think therein lies a huge, huge part of the problem that we're facing today. If you got something else to say, go ahead, Ben. I want to move on.
Yeah, the thing is, I think the reason Israel has been able to reject anything that the UN has said until now is because we gave them no reason that they had to. We support them. If we instead say, unless you are playing ball with the international community, unless you are complying with the edicts of the United Nations, unless neither you nor the Palestinians nor the Arabs nor, you know, of any ilk or surrounding them, you know, Lebanon, Syria, you know, Jordan, Egypt, any of them, unless you're playing ball, unless we are all on the same page, not a dime. And
well,
if we do that, if we say not a dime until we're all playing nice,
okay, but
that may be the only thing that gets them.
Well, I with all due respect, Ben, I don't think that'll work. You're talking about deep intergenerational emotional entanglements here, and to say if you don't play nice, we're going to cut the aid. I don't think that wouldn't mean anything. I think
They wouldn't survive 2 years without our money.
Well, conversely, I think the nations in the Middle East that do get money from us say the opposite. If you don't continue the aid, then all hell's going to break loose. So, and we will be the ones to instigate it. Now, whoever's saying that, I have no idea. But I think it's just I don't think threatening to cut off aid or military support to any of these governments, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, or Israel, would have any effect on them whatsoever. Because these are deep emotional entanglements that go deep into the soil, deep into belief systems, deep into concepts of God and religion and special arrangements and so on and so forth. And I think that's where we're screwed to the wall. All right, Ben, I got to leave you there. Thanks.
Take care, sir.
Appreciate you checking in. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
It's changing, but I'm changed. And the quality of mercy is my strength. Hypocrites and liars.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Big songs and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not great.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036. My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to Chicago, which is right over there near Cincinnati. Dumbass. Marcia is calling from Florida. Marcia, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, you couldn't hear me when I called in last time.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening for the past hour, hour and a half, and what really, really bothers me is that the whole discussion, as is most of the news in the newspapers, is extraordinarily one-sided and anti-Israel. Israel...
What? Wait. Now I'm open to discussion here tonight, Marcia, but I'm not going to let a statement like that go by. What press are you reading? You're not reading the... No. Hold on. You're not reading the New York Times. You're not reading the Washington Post, the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Cincinnati Inquirer. You're not watching NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. What are you talking about that the media in this country is one-sided against Israel?
No.
Give me...
I didn't say all of it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. To make you a deal. Give me one example.
The Sun Sentinel down here.
Ah, for Christ's sake, the Sun Sentinel. What is the Sun Sentinel?
Well, it's the paper that a lot of people are reading. But aside from the news, the newspaper, the discussion tonight, though, is all been on what Israel has to do, that they have to get in line. We're going to cut off their aid if they don't do what we tell them to do, that they're the ones who are not following the UN resolutions, that they're the ones, you made a comment before that if they wanted a desert, why not give them desert in Arizona?
Now, Marcia, stop. I'm going to end the conversation here in about 10 seconds, and I'm going to tell you why. What you're doing is totally perverting and prostituting some very interesting conversation tonight.
No.
Hey, potter down, please. You're perverting and prostituting and screwing around with some genuine, honest conversation that's been on this program tonight, and I'm not going to allow it. You're taking things out of context. You're making up stuff, and I'm not going to have it in the discussion. Goodbye. You're out of here. Not going to do it. I don't have the time. I don't have the patience. And I'm not going to listen to it. And I'm not going to subject my audience to it. Period. Goodbye. Thanks for calling. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program. Hey, Ira. All right, put him on hold, please. We'll come back in a second. Adam is calling from San Diego. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I'm calling you from the worst county of America. Guess what?
Yes.
That's why.
San Diego County. All right.
Yes, sir. I live in the precinct of the villain who was just elected.
I hear you.
Anyways, Mike, thank you for saving the day. We really appreciate it. The reason why I'm calling, and maybe you don't have a lot of Muslim Americans calling you, and it's been amazing how many specialists and how many analysts all of a sudden are appearing on the horizon and try to give their wrong feedback about the Middle East. Now, I'd like to just make it clear how Muslims are really feeling. If the administration would only listen, that this is
right, now, wait. Hold on just a second. What are we talking about here, Adam? When are you talking about Iraq? Are you talking about the general attitude towards Muslims? What are you talking about?
Well, here, we're actually talking specifically about Palestine, and that alludes to the general attitudes of Muslims, the way how we think about Jews, and the way how we don't hate Jews whatsoever.
Let me interrupt again, because I'm trying to keep this conversation from drifting one way or the other here, and it's a hell of a job. So help me out. Aren't we talking about Arabs and Israelis, Arabs and Jews? We're not talking about Muslims, are we? We're talking about Arabs and Israelis. Isn't it?
Okay. We're not talking about just about Muslims. We're talking about Arabs, right? In the context of
and let's reduce it. Let's reduce it further. Aren't we talking about, in this case, two groups of Arabs? We're talking about Palestinians and Lebanese.
Well, here,
because that's where the killing and the fighting and the war is occurring now. Correct?
Okay. Correct. Yeah. Well, okay.
I don't want to bring in Muslims. We bring in Muslims. We're talking about people who live in Indonesia. We're talking about people who live in Buenos Aires. You understand what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah. The reason why I have alluded to Muslims, not because of the faith issue. The reason is just because there is a common denominator, which is the way how we feel about Palestine. And I'm sure you're very astute and insightful about your history. And you know exactly how Israel has gotten there 50 years ago and how they got to establish their state and assemble their Jewish people from all over the world.
Okay, that is a valid and legitimate discussion, but I don't think it's what it's definitely not what I want to keep the focus on tonight. So and we're about to have to take a break here, so what I'm going to do is put you on hold, Adam, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
and what I'm asking you to do, if you have some comments about what is happening in Gaza and what is happening in Israel and what is happening in Lebanon even as we speak, then let's address that. And I think that's a fair request on my part, because we're not talking about a conflict between Muslim and Christian, or Jew and Muslim, or Christian and Jew. You see what I'm? We're talking about this terrible, terrible, terrible situation that exists tonight in the Middle East.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. We'll put you on hold. We'll come back, Adam. You'll be first when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Israeli forces continued offensives on two fronts early Friday, striking targets in both Lebanon and Gaza. Israeli aircraft struck the main road from Beirut to Damascus, Syria, and destroyed targets to the south of Beirut, including a bridge. In Gaza, an Israeli tank fired on a vehicle in the Gaza Strip, killing one Palestinian and injuring another. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has issued a state of emergency declaration for the massive Sawtooth Fire. Fire crews continue an effort to establish fire lines in hopes of keeping the fire from reaching the San Bernardino National Forest. A 7-person jury has found that Merck's Vioxx pain medication was not a substantial factor in a 68-year-old New Jersey woman's death. Members of the jury said the plaintiff's lawyers failed to provide enough evidence that Vioxx was the cause of the woman's death. On Thursday, weather authorities confirmed that the storm that struck Westchester County, New York, Wednesday was indeed a tornado. Glenn Schuck reports.
With sustained winds over 100 miles an hour, this twister formed in Rockland County, gained strength over the Hudson River, and then went on a 15-minute-long tour of destruction across Westchester.
The tornado traversed the entire county from the Hudson River to the state line, moving into Fairfield County, Connecticut. And the width of the damage appeared to be ranging from 200 to 300 yards across.
Now, as far as he's concerned, Jeff Tung of the National Weather Service says this twister is one for the record book.
I do not believe there's been enough to document it previously in the county.
Now, officials are saying if this storm had hit an hour or more later during rush hour, that dozens of people could have been killed. Glenn Schuck, White Plains, New York.
A former city councilman in Philadelphia convicted of taking money from constituents to pay his credit card bills and for a gym membership is speaking out. 1 week after being sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for what he calls a mistake, Rick Mariano spoke out about his past and his future.
It's the worst thing that could happen to me or anyone, but it's actually the best thing because I didn't like this life. I didn't like being a councilman, and I know it now.
And Mariano says when he goes to federal prison beginning next month, he has two goals, lose 25 pounds and study for the LSAT. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're talking about the Middle East. We're talking about the Israeli response to what it considered to be acts of serious provocation, both in Gaza and in Lebanon. And the Israelis have responded, and the Israeli government has responded in the way that it usually responds in a situation like this. And I don't mean that as casting a slur. I'm not here to cast any slurs on anybody tonight. We're trying to keep this as open as possible. We'll see if it continues to work. Now, right before the break, we were talking with Adam in San Diego. All right, Adam, go ahead. Pick it up wherever you left it.
Hey, thank you. I just want to make a quick clarification here. I'm not anti-Jew or anything. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of Jewish friends. My babysitter was Jewish, and they're our cousins, after all, as you know. All I'm saying is the genesis of the problem of this huge mayhem that we're having in the Middle East is basically, if you return it back 50 years, Palestinians were clearly, they had their livelihoods subverted, they were mocked, depicted, they were entrapped or circumvented in makeshift cities.
That is true.
In refugee camps.
And, that is absolutely true.
Right. I mean, and unfortunately, I mean, what you're seeing right now is a clear embodiment of a bad taste that is still existing, unfortunately, since then. And what makes things even worse is when you have hundreds of billions of dollars of American money being squandered to support that. Unfortunately, the detriment of this mayhem reflects on America, unfortunately. I'm very patriot. I love America. I served America in the Marines. And I hate to see a country like Israel hurting America so much. Americans are good people. We are good people. We are smart. But, I mean, how long are we going to go and support Israel? And how long are the Bushies and the cronies of the Republican Party going to insist on this point? I mean, going
to
go with this?
Well, let me try to respond to that. The sad fact, or maybe it's not sad, maybe it's just a real fact, as opposed to a Bush crime family fact, is that I don't really believe that the Bush administration has as deep an interest in being allied with Israel as it has in being allied with, say, Saudi Arabia or Kuwait for the obvious reasons of oil. And I mentioned this earlier. I think the alliance that developed between the United States and Israel in 1948 was a direct outgrowth of what was developing as the so-called Cold War, subsequent to World War II, between the United States and the Soviet Union. It was in the strategic interests of the United States to support Israel. Don't forget that probably some of the deepest strains of anti-Semitism existed here in the United States, talking about people like E.I. DuPont, Henry Ford, Lindbergh. It goes on and on and on and on. There were restrictions passed in roughly from the 20s to maybe the 40s, restricting the immigration of Southern Europeans and especially Jews. And this, even when it became clear that the Holocaust was occurring, this deep anti-Semitism that seems to have been rampant around the globe, certainly not totally around the globe, but certainly in societies that were either Muslim or Christian, so-called, that anti-Semitism had deep roots in this country. Now, I honestly feel this, that the Bush administration, the only reason, and this may be a stretch, but I believe it, the only reason the Bush administration maintains such close ties with Israel is because of this psychotic Christian belief that somehow the establishment of the State of Israel begins the process that returns the Christian Messiah. And were it not for that, if Jesus was supposed to return when the state of Australia was founded, I don't think there would be any interest in Israel whatsoever. America's strategic interest now are not in Israel. They're in Saudi Arabia. They're in Iraq. They're in Iran. They're in these oil-producing countries of the Caspian Sea states. There is no strategic value. Now, I'm not in maintaining this alliance with Israel. So, for the United States, none.
Right, Mike. I mean, what really bolsters your statement is you can draw a huge distinction or a clear line between the foreign policy which was adopted by the Clintons or by the Democratic administration, which was a lot more peaceful than the one now. And yet, there is. I wouldn't really go that far, and I do respect Christians. I do. As a matter of fact, a lot of people might not know this, but Muslims do believe in Jesus all the way. And
no, I understand.
Right, I mean they do, but definitely the Republican right sees Israel as a compulsory condition for the return of the Messiah. Totally. So, I mean, all I'm trying to say here is foreign policy, if it's hostile in this regard of Palestine-Israel, if it's hostile, the whole, unfortunately, America gonna see certain developments, unfortunately, that will not be good. And we want to promote peace and everything. So we have to be very, very, very careful with the foreign policy that is being adopted.
I understand. And the Bush administration is not being careful. Hey, listen, thanks, Adam. I appreciate what you have to say. Thank you for checking in on the topic here. The efforts made by Jimmy Carter that resulted in the peace agreement between the Egyptians and the Israelis, the efforts by Jimmy Carter, by Bill Clinton, that almost resulted, had it not been for these bastards in the Republican Party, these conservatives who conservatives cannot govern. Conservatives are in favor of chaos. They are in favor of isolation. They are in favor of separation. This is the nature of conservatives. They did everything they could to undermine and destroy what Clinton was trying to put together between Arafat and I can't think of the prime minister's name at the time, but Israeli prime minister. But every single effort has been made by Republicans to continue the division and the fear and the suspicion and the killing in the Middle East. There has not been, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, there has not been a Republican administration going all the way back to Eisenhower who made any effort whatsoever to reconcile the differences between a Palestinian and Jew, to try to make this a situation that somehow would be palatable to both sides. It has been Democrats who have tried to do this. It has been so-called liberals who have tried to do this. Forget liberal. It's been Democrats who have tried to do this. Never, never Republicans. And I don't care what was on the surface. Underneath was this insistence that the tension remain in the Middle East, that Palestinian and Jew continue to hate each other, continue to mistrust each other. It has always been that, and it will probably continue to be that. Let's go to Marcia, who's calling in from Oregon. Marcia, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that I agree with pretty much most of what you've been saying tonight, and even if it's American news, every time I see children hurt on either side, it just breaks my heart.
Yes, yes.
And especially what you were just talking about too, about the Christian ideology and you know, getting Jews back to Israel and everything. There was a 60 Minutes segment a few years back that the woman on there pretty much has said exactly that, you know, that they're looking for the Jews to get back to Israel. And I think, and that's why the Christian right's taken such a special interest in Jews. And I have a real problem with a lot of the Jews that even go over to Israel from America, especially if they're American Orthodox Jews, because to me they carry an arrogance with them that just does not stop as far as what they think they have the right to.
Are you Jewish?
Yes, I am.
Is it not a belief in the Orthodox community that the establishment of the State of Israel was an abomination, that the only one who can establish the State of Israel is the Messiah, Mashiach, or the Messiah? Is that not true?
Actually, I'm not Orthodox, so I can't even tell you that. But
okay, well, that's my understanding of Orthodoxy where it concerns Judaism, that the Orthodox Jews don't believe. They believe in an historical, biblical Israel, but they don't believe that what exists there now is Israel because it wasn't established by the Messiah.
That might be true. Like I said, I'm not real sure. I didn't have a real good Jewish upbringing, but I follow it the best I can in my own way.
Yeah.
But all I know is that what's going on there, that the minute I heard that today on the news about them going into Lebanon over two soldiers that were kidnapped, I was just totally...
You knew all those lives, right.
For two people?
You knew what was coming. Marcia, I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Let it go to his owner.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Your host for a Pience Friance Future, it's Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. Andre sent me the email. It was Yitzhak Rabin, who Clinton and Arafat and Rabin, who tried to work out a further peace agreement. Of course, Rabin then was assassinated by a Jewish right-winger in Israel for his efforts at peace. So the crazies are certainly peppered all over the Middle East, are they not? Back to your phone calls on this issue. Mark is calling from San Francisco. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello. How do you do, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to, first of all, talk about what I thought was possibly I was getting a little bit tin-hatted on this. But I'm very worried, very upset for the last week about what Israel has been doing in both the Gaza Strip and with inside of Lebanon. And Lebanon, which has its connections both physically and demographically with Syria, it almost like it seared me, like, what is this, how we're going to get into a war with Syria, which has a mutual protection agreement with Iran? I don't know how deep that is.
Well, they also have one with Russia.
Well, they have one that's very recent with Iran.
Right.
Anyway, that's my tin hat one.
Well, that's not a tin hat craziness at all. The Middle East has always carried with it, certainly since the 50s, it's always carried with it, the 1950s, the potential to be the spark that set off a war that would be global and would be impossible to stop. And that's the part of this whole situation today. This is how I felt in 67. It's how I felt in 71. It's how I felt in every time there has been.
And it's worse each time.
Well, true. Every time there's been an eruption. Hell, I felt this way during the Suez Crisis in 1956 when the alliances were all screwy. The people who are on one side now were not on that side back in 1956. So the whole situation has...
I was a little young to pick that up.
Well, it just scared me. It scared me because even then, I mean, I was not in high school, but we had teachers back then who would openly talk about this say and explain to us, you know, why the French and the British attacked the Suez Canal, attacked Nasser, and started, you know, that's a million years ago. But what I'm saying is, watching these pictures on television and hearing about what starting with Gaza a week or so ago,
They split it in two with an army. I mean, they sent in an armored pincer. Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, they did. They didn't just, you know, quote unquote attack where the kid had been, you know, captured from the north. They split it then in two. You know, I mean, they're increasing it. And the one thing I'm saying also that really scared me yesterday as I woke up, basically thinking about this, was that you know, they are. This is the most reckless I have seen the Israelis be since the, you know, I don't know, 1980s when Sharon went into southern Lebanon and so forth.
Well, I don't know if reckless is the right term. Certainly one that would carry as much weight, but. If there's one thing, I would not say reckless. The Israeli military is always very calculated.
Yeah, but it can still be a calculated reckless.
Well,
act.
Okay, yeah. But I you know, sometimes when you calculate your moves, what happens is it blows up in your face. And so again, the situation in the Middle East tonight, it has me the same way as you. I'm scared of it. I'm frightened by it, and I just wish to hell that somebody over the past 55 years could have settled some of this. And I have to leave it there, Mark. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We got to take a break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
We'll be right back.
feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Used to be solid ground. Nobody was ever gonna get size down. Originally.
It's about 25 before the hour. George is calling from Miami Beach. George, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
You know, I'm watching all this going on, and it seems like there's a profound lack of respect amongst all people for other people. I watch what we did in Iraq and invading the sovereignty, the sovereign country.
Right.
And we're showing the whole world by example that, none of this matters.
That's very true. And we talked about this when the psychopath George Bush decided that such a thing as preemptive strikes against another country if they have oil made sense. And once you let that genie out of the bottle, who's to say that only the murderous George Bush crime family is going to use that tactic? Everybody wants to use it. Then, oh, the United States is using it, so are we.
Yeah, but we're not the 700-pound gorilla we were. Okay, we're looking at a situation here where if things don't get better, we're going to have a large movement of troops up to Kurdistan and down to the border, and we will have a tremendous no-man land there, and we'll have to live up to our obligations, however that could possibly be. Now, you look at things. What happened to all those missing nuclear devices from Russia? The backpacks that they said didn't exist, and then pictures came out of them.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much. I mean, I'm watching all these people, and it's like we're back to the Stone Age here. This is tribalism gone nuts.
Yeah.
Except we've got nuclear clubs now.
And when you have an administration like we're stuck with that loves war, that sees war as theater or sees it as something that will enhance this sick bastard in the White House, when you have someone who loves and worships war and death the way the Bush crime family does, then with that administration in power, you're going to have as much war and death around the globe as you could possibly want and more.
It just, the whole thing, when you look at the fact that we sold the Iranians bunker busters just a year and a half ago, our Congress authorized that. We sold them the very weapons that we're supposed to be going at them with. What kind of an advantage do you think that gives them?
But that's nothing new in terms of U.S. foreign policy. We would have sold weapons to Satan if we thought a few years ago that it would have had an effect on the Soviet Union. We have made alliances with people now that want to cut our throats and are cutting our throats.
Well, bin Laden was on our payroll.
Well, he was indeed.
So, you look at all this stuff and you think, what if one of these idiots who really doesn't care, and maybe for legitimate reasons, maybe his whole family was killed, whatever the justification, religious, who knows. But what if one person comes in there and, they say Israel is a one-bomb country because it's so packed in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're sitting in a council. Now, let's say all of the heads of all the different departments of the government are there. Your enemy outnumbers you 20-1. You start looking at some really dark things like neutron bombs.
Sure.
Which are very easy to do. They kill the people, they leave the property.
Right.
At what point do you say, we can't take them conventionally? At what point does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, this is the problem that I have with this whole thing, is that no one, and here are people that have lived side by side for literally thousands of years. No one talks anymore. There's no Geneva Convention. There's no concern for anyone else. There's just greed. Give me the mall and make sure I got cheap gas.
Yeah.
So you look at it, And you say, yeah, these guys are playing with fire. And, you know, just what fuse are they going to light this time?
Well, I hear you. I do, George. And thanks for checking in. I appreciate what you had to say. Somebody sent me an email here a few minutes ago reminding me of something that Carl Sagan said one time prior to his death. The situation, the global situation had gotten to this point. We're like, say, two people sitting in a locked room up to our waist in gasoline, and we're arguing over who has the most matches. Now, that's probably a garbled representation of what Sagan had to say, but is calling from Manhattan. Is it L or Ellie?
As in McPherson.
It's L. Hi, L.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Okay, I have to wake up now. Been on hold for a while.
Yeah.
If we could wave a magic wand and made Mike Malloy ambassador to the Mideast and was able to broker some peace accord or some resolution, A, what would you do? And B, do you think this is like the start of, you know, what Fox Media wants you to believe, the start of World War III?
Well, to answer your first question, I don't have the intelligence or even the common sense to. and besides, what attempt I might have at trying to solve the problems there would begin with, first of all, declaring that certainly people of the Jewish faith are entitled to live in a place called Israel, but it will not be, it will be a secular state completely.
It'd be a what state?
Secular. It will have
uh-huh.
no. It will not be a Jewish state.
Uh-huh.
It'll be a Middle Eastern country,
uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
and the Semitic people that come there, whether they're Palestinian or Jew, because of the diaspora that both groups have suffered through,
uh-huh.
that when they return, the law of return will apply to Palestinians as well as Jews, and.
Uh-huh.
And as long as I'm king of the world and can control people's minds
mm-hmm.
In that role, then I would say, so there is no two-state solution here. There will be a one-state solution. And since you are cousins, you will all live here in peace, or I'll come and kick your asses. Now, naturally, that's not going to happen. Now, the second part of your question, you never can tell. In my entire life, the entire history of my life, has been around the idea, is this the event that starts a nuclear holocaust?
Mm-hmm.
I've said before on this program, when I was 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
my brothers and sister and I used to play a game called Flash of Light.
Mm.
The Flash of Light was a thermonuclear bomb going off in Toledo, Ohio, or
mm-hmm.
Detroit, or Cleveland. And the object of the game was to see which one of us could get under something first. So this has been the
mm-hmm.
backdrop to my whole life. Is this the event that sets off a chain of events
mm-hmm.
that result in global war of a nature that is unprecedented, because now we have thermonuclear weapons. So
and do you think the current cabal has orchestrated this wonderful perfect storm of confluence of diversion and mayhem?
I to a certain extent I do.
Yeah,
I believe
there
are people in control of key governments around this planet who, as far as I'm concerned, are just crazy. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And so many of them are driven by, in my opinion, nonsensical religious dogma that it's more than location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
It's my God, my cloud being, it can whip your cloud being's ass and will whip your cloud being's ass given half a chance. And when you have that sort of an attitude, what are you going to do? Again, I have to reference these sites on the net that are run by these rapture groups, these American Christian groups, who are just salivating and rubbing their hands in glee over what's occurring in the Middle East, because they see it as part of their satanic-like, hate-filled fulfillment of this nonsense that, that with enough death, Jesus is going to appear.
Well, you know, there's something I just want to say about that Messiah thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Jews rejected Jesus because they didn't believe in a Messiah.
Well, they didn't believe it was him.
I don't think they believed it.
Well, they're still waiting. They're still waiting.
Yeah, they're waiting. They're going to wait forever. You know, I mean, come on. Listen,
there's the music. I have to leave it there. Thanks, Al. I appreciate you checking in, and thanks for your patience. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
Money's good. Work's okay. It's like everything that's rolling our way. Till you got a little devil in the eye. You know that bastard's one big lie.
So be careful with your hand and what you love. Make sure that's what you're saying.
It's what you do and not what you say. If you're not part of the future, then get out of the way.
Come on, baby.
The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Andrew Dunn, who engineered the program for us in New York this evening. David Weissman handled your calls tonight. Also, thanks to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, who archives the program, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bay, who is the executive producer of this program. And in thinking about the conversation with one of the callers here just a few minutes ago, if this frightens me, or I believe she said she was frightened, the very real possibility of some sort of joint effort by the IDF and U.S. military to slice into Syria and also use Iranian, legitimate Iranian support for Hezbollah as an excuse to invade that country. I think that scenario is on the table. I really do. I don't think they're telling chuckle nuts about it. Bush, he has no idea, I don't think, of the relationship between Israel, Lebanon, and Syria. The pressure being put on Lebanon right now is asinine because this frail government that exists in Lebanon after being occupied by Syria for how many years and after a 15-year-long civil war, the orders to Hezbollah to cross the so-called green line and capture Israeli soldiers did not come from the government of Lebanon. Obviously, it came from the government of Syria. And in the Israeli reaction to this, or expecting a reaction from Israel, certainly was the only scenario that made sense. And I think the Syrians understand this. But the country that is being pounded tonight, its communication centers, its airports, its ports, the pressure that's now being put on the Lebanese, the residents of Lebanon, is an utter and absolute outrage. This is not something that the government, as frail as it is, of Lebanon, has anything to do with. And I think everyone involved here understand. The Israelis certainly understand. But that raises the question, in my mind anyway, as to whether or not these two-day-long attacks now, which show no evidence of abating at all, if they're not designed to soften up, so to speak, any resistance, Hezbollah resistance, and it does exist in Lebanon. I'm not saying there's not a heavy presence of Hezbollah in that country, but to soften it up, so that some sort of joint operation between the United States and Israel into Syria through Lebanon and then in United States operation from Iraq into Iran, I think the possibility for a real chaotic event here is definitely hanging. It's just hanging there. I hope that there is somebody in the government of the United States who refuses. Condoleezza Rice seems to be reluctant to follow this imaginary scenario I just laid out. I'm reading into what she, what I heard her say today, insisting that the Israelis show proportionality where it concerns what is happening. There's a good possibility right now that the only voice of restraint in the U.S. administration would be that of Condoleezza Rice. Think about that for a moment. So to answer the question, if it was a question directed to me, yeah, I'm extremely fearful. Not only do I not only does the death make me sick, the bombing in the occupied territories, the suicide missions, the killing, the families that are blown to pieces, whether they're Arab or Jew, it's but you know, I sit and wallow in that idealistic nonsense, and it just seems so quaint, doesn't it? It even does to me. It must sound like hell coming out through the through your radio receiver. You know, oh, there's Malloy talking about why can't we all get along again? Woo! Sounds like Rodney. What was his name? Rodney King. But I'm a simple person. I really, really am. And a simple solution to this just seems to me. The woman who asked me, Elle, who asked me what I would do. Yeah, if I was, if I were king of the world, if I had utter and absolute power, and could bring it about, I would just insist that the cousins, the Jews and the Palestinians, stop it. Just stop it. Isn't that cute? Isn't that quaint? Isn't that ridiculous? Thanks for participating tonight. I appreciate your comments. This is not an easy subject for Americans to talk about. Let's see what happens over the next 24 hours. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. Ant Block keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.